Good morning, Professor T. Uft, and thank you for giving me this interview. The first question is, have you always been good in physics and maths also when you were at school?
I knew I wanted to be a scientist, in a sense, from very early age on. Even on nursery school, I was more interested in nature around me than in humans around me. I found humans too difficult to understand, and nature was much more easy to understand, and was for that reason also much more interesting to me. So the answer is yes, I knew from an early age on I wanted to be a scientist. I remember as a little kid that I noticed the object as the invention of the wheel, and I was very intrigued by wheels. Because wheels do something that nature itself doesn't. It makes transport very easy and very light. And someone has invented the wheel. That person has scooped me. I would have liked to invent the wheel, but someone else did that before me. And that's the way I was often thinking, that I wanted to become a scientist. I wanted to invent new things for humanity, things such as spaceships to go to outer space. I wanted to go to outer space, and I wanted to have cars that fly and so on. Well, that all that has not quite materialized, but I wanted to become an inventor when I was a little kid. And then I realized to be an inventor, you have to understand the laws of nature. And to understand the laws of nature, you have to understand the laws of mathematics. So I became very interested in mathematics and in physics. And I was so fortunate in having in my family at least one theoretical physicist, who was my uncle. And I could bombard him with questions about physics. And he was very patient with me, and often first let me rephrase my question before answering it. And this was very helpful to me. He told me how to think about things, how to phrase questions correctly, how to phrase your answers correctly. And that has been very helpful to me. So I knew when I was an adolescent, I always wanted to go into science, into physics in particular. And as a physicist, I wanted to do theoretical physics. I wanted to analyze things.
How do ideas come to your mind?
I think a lot about things, and I try to think about questions, which questions to ask, which questions have been asked in the past, and which answers have been given in the past, and how should new questions be formulated, and what would new answers possibly look like. So I first imagine what would a good answer possibly be like to this question. And is there a way for me to arrive at such a good answer? So I try to imagine what questions and what answers would be and how they could improve my understanding of the world. And I think there must be many ways of formulating questions and answers. So that helps a lot. That's my way of thinking, is to try to be as precise as possible. I'm convinced that many modern theories skip too many logical steps, so that if you are more precise in going from one step to the next, you might discover new things. You might discover there are actually other answers, or there could be other theories or better procedures if you knew more precisely what you're doing. So I say I recognize the beauty of many existing theories, and I think they are great discoveries. I don't want to spoil them. I don't want to throw them out. I just want to see, is there anything missing? Is there anything else that we could have been working on? And is there a possible way to improve the theory? I want to make them more beautiful, not less beautiful. So I don't want to say people were wrong. That's not my business. I don't care when someone comes with the wrong theory. I don't care much when my theory is wrong. But I want to see if one can improve things.
Often, physics theories are really abstract. Do you also think how a theory could be experimentally proved?
Yes, of course. Eventually, every theory should be based in experimental observations. And just having a theory without any direct evidence in favor of it is very dangerous. But it is allowed to theorize about things that are very difficult or impossible to check right away. And often I think about theories that the experimental check, or first the logical internal check, will come later. And I'm not particularly worried that I can't check my theories just now or even tomorrow. But I want my theory, first of all, to be internally coherent and precise. And then the notion of checking it will come. If a theory is fundamentally impossible to check, then it's certainly less interesting for that reason. So I want things to be interesting and worthwhile and useful. All that are important properties of a good theory.
Galileo Galilei said that the universe is written in mathematical language. And for example, the Standard Model of Particle Physics is a mathematical structure that has been proved to fit very well to nature and also allowed to foresee and then discover new particles. Do you think that maths is something invented by human, or that it exists independently from human beings who just discovered it or understood it?
That's a very interesting question, an important question also, and I do not always agree with the answers given. Mathematics is a man-made construction, but I'm sure it will look the same if we meet aliens who discovered their own mathematics. I'm sure mathematicians from our planet will be able to talk very well with mathematicians of an alien planet. They'll agree about all the prime numbers. They'll have the same theorems. They understand Pythagoras' laws and everything else. So many discoveries of mathematics will be independent of who discovered it. But I do think that mathematics contains many man-made notions which ultimately will not be present in the most fundamental laws of nature. I don't believe quantum mechanics is the ultimate law of nature. Quantum mechanics is a very important mathematical tool. When we encounter aliens, they will know what quantum mechanics is. There's no doubt in my mind. Yet, I think it is a man-made artifact which will not feature in the most elementary formulation of the laws of nature. We don't know those laws of nature as they are today. So today the best we have is quantum mechanics. But the day might come that we say, no, the ultimate laws of nature don't know quantum mechanics. But that not only holds for quantum mechanics, it also holds for complex numbers. Complex number doesn't occur in the natural world. It occurs in our imagination. But that also holds for real numbers. A real number is a number that is defined as the infinite number of decimal places. I don't believe nature is like that. That nature requires the planets to be specified, their masses and their orbits and so on, by real numbers. Real numbers are a man-made invention to make our lives easy. And they are extremely successful in doing so. Without real numbers, we wouldn't be able to do physics. Yet, I believe that real numbers are not in the ultimate laws of nature. They don't know about real numbers. Real numbers are a very good approximation of what we see. But they are artifacts. And that holds for most of mathematics. Mathematics is often idealization of reality. Reality is not like that. But it is the best approximation that you have to reality. So many theories of our world are approximations. I think they're all approximations, as far as we know. And these approximations require mathematics. And mathematics is often based on real numbers, on imaginary numbers, on all sorts of crazy theorems. Nature doesn't know about that. Nature is just a set of very simple laws which are somehow obeyed. But working out these laws and finding out their relationship and finding out ways for us to understand and check those laws, for that we need mathematics. And so we need real numbers, we need complex numbers, we need quantum mechanics to check how mathematics works. But the question whether it's all in the fundamental laws of nature themselves, I don't believe that.
Thank you very much. Okay. It has been great to interview you.
Thank you.